So I'm talking about Srimad Bhagavatam just to try to emphasize the importance. The devotees take very seriously the study of these books, which Prabhupada devoted about 25-30% of his time to. And yesterday I was speaking with that friend of Alex, and I was explaining to him, this is what life is for. This is why you have 100 years, if you're lucky. This is why we have 100 years, because to study Srimad Bhagavatam and to perfect devotional service. You don't have 100 years to waste 25 of it in education, another 25 of it with being busy in business and family life, and another 25 of it with retiring, going fishing, and so on. It requires 100 years to become Krishna conscious. That's when you're doing it full-time, not doing anything else. Obviously, you need to live in this world, so that's why Krishna gave us intelligence. The intelligence is to figure out how to work as little as possible. The less you work, the smarter you are. And the less you study, the smarter you are. So the less work you can do with the least amount of study, that's a smart person. Then you got the rest of your time to chant 64 rounds a day and study Srimad Bhagavatam 4 hours a day, and that's how you become Krishna conscious. So when we're trying to squeeze in a little time to chant a couple of rounds here and there, and maybe I get to study, read Bhagavatam on the weekend for an hour, good luck. Mama Maya Duratyaya. You notice that material energy is 24/7, and it's very powerful. To overcome that material energy doesn't come by faith. It doesn't come by hoping for good results. It doesn't come by just expecting Krishna, you do it all. It really requires, you really have to. It really requires knowing the science of surrender. And where surrender in one sense is very easy, but you notice it's not so easy, because it's not in our blood. We have lust in our blood, and we have material attachment in our blood, not surrender. So whereas that's actually our nature, is Nitya Krishna Das, is to be surrendered to Krishna. But we become so poisoned and so contaminated by Kali Yuga that it becomes very difficult for us to become ourselves. And really that's all. In that sense, Krishna consciousness is very easy. Just be yourself. So a lot of the modern different gurus say, yeah, be yourself. But be yourself means be Frankenstein, or be a zombie, or be something else, because that's what conditioned self is. But being ourselves, Krishna Das, that's, we're so covered that it's not an easy job anymore. So that's what human form of life is about. It's about self-realization. It's not about anything else. So if we can actually arrange our lives to have as minimal distractions as possible, and that's why when we're talking about this idea of stress, I mean, keep the material necessities to a minimum. I need this much room to sleep in, I need this much food to eat, enough. Let me just get the minimum. So I can have, all I need is a bookshelf in order to have these books. A bead bag doesn't take up much space. And you chant Hare Krishna. And in the association of devotees. So that is, that's why lifestyle so much actually determines our ability to practice Krishna consciousness. and that we don't establish all kinds of false expectations and artificial goals for ourselves that then make spiritual life a near impossibility. So that's just, I'm mentioning that just because this is, generally we're not really trained to study philosophy. It takes, you see, usually it takes devotees a little while to just sort of click into being able to think in these terms, in philosophical terms. Usually we're thinking in technological terms, if we're thinking at all. Because thinking isn't a popular thing nowadays. People don't teach you to think. They program you. That's why programming is such a popular thing, and people like computers. Because you associate with a computer long enough, you become a computer. You just get programmed. You get programmed, you think like this. Don't think about this, don't think about that. You just go along this sort of straight and narrow path to nowhere. So, the program, but thinking, just like this concept, thinking, who am I? It takes thinking. And a thinking person will ask that question, but if it's not in your program, you don't ask it until it may be too late. So, to think, and then to think in terms of philosophical terms, it requires a certain psychological, mental adjustment to start getting into that type of thing, and simultaneously the type of discipline that requires sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna. Sitting in one place is a big thing. Okay, you go to a yoga class and you sit down and you stay in one place for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna for 2 hours and just listen to this mantra. It's very difficult. Our minds are so poisoned that for us to just hear the simple thing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you just listen to this mantra, we can't do it. Because there's so many things have gone in, internet, television, movies, music, all of these things are in there, when you just try to do one thing, then other things also come up. But you have to start somewhere. And it's not that it's hopeless. There's hope because of the power of both devotional service and also Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya's making it accessible to us. Krishna prema pradayate. But you have to take it. So Lord Chaitanya's giving it. Our business is to take it. And, for instance, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, but he didn't work. Chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, and that's what they were all doing. And they were all doing that because that's the path to perfection. So unfortunately, we're not living in that type of culture where there's other wealthy benefactors who are maintaining Brahminical class to be able to do that. But then still, the organized life in such a way as to keep the necessities of life to a minimum so that maximum time and energy is focused on this. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is a, it requires concentration, it requires dedication, determination to put it into practice in our lives. And it requires self-discipline. So, study Srimad Bhagavatam and then all the problems of life are solved. Okay, but I'll just stop there instead, a little early, and then devotees have any questions.
People around us, measure us, like devotee, what you get in your life, what do you get, what material things you get in your life, now I'm staying to uncle of my wife, and they measure my life, who am I, but what things I get, and they asked me, and what things give you this Krishna consciousness, but how much money, and how we can preach to these people by our example. Okay, I don't get so much money a month to please them. I'm expensive. I'm rich. I'm rich. I can. How we can preach to these people? They have a materialistic mind. If you get much money, this is good religion. Not much money, not good religion. And I...
We're not... our business is not to become rich so that rich people will listen to us. I know the richest people in the world, they listen to me not because I'm making money. They don't, they're not particularly impressed by making money because they've already got money. So we have to be convinced that we're trying to impress Krishna, we're not trying to impress other people. And when they may measure success by money, but our answer is we don't measure success by money. We measure success by inner peace. We measure success by our relationship with God. And you can tell them, you have money, but do you have peace of mind? Do you know who you are? So, Swavidvarahustakara, we're not interested in pampering to materialistic people. We don't have to show wealth. Was Jesus Christ rich? Did he make any money? Didn't make any money. Did Muhammad make any money? Or did any spiritual leader make any money? Why is everyone following them? So, it isn't making money that makes people exemplary. So no, we're not doing Krishna consciousness to become rich. And we're looking for another paradigm. We're looking for the inner paradigm where you measure things within and you don't measure things without. So you may think, all right, we're a failure. That's all right. But we're not trying to live up to that measure, because when you look at the people who have material things, they're materially real failures. So they're the ones who are intoxicated, they're the ones who are drug addicts, they're the ones whose marriages break up, they're the ones who are frustrated in life. And they're the ones who are cheating everyone else, the poor people in the world. So it isn't that successful people have a good, even human record, let us speak of spiritual record. But that's something that we have to decide as to who it is or that we want to actually please and by what standard we're living. We live by this standard. So we're not after material abundance. hereafter having just what we need. And we can't, you can't live by pleasing, especially materialistic people, and at the same time try to please Krishna. And you can't do both things. If it happens naturally, and for some people it's their karma, it's like I'm in touch with one devotee. He runs 14 businesses. He studies Bhagavatam 4 hours a day. He's bored. He doesn't know what to do with his time. That's his karma. And he doesn't know what to do with his money. I'm trying to help him. But that's his karma. But that's very few people are like that. And he has plenty of time for chanting, and he has plenty of time for reading. And for him, running 14 businesses, he does that in a couple of hours a day. But very few people are like that. For most people, just feeding a family is a full-time job. You have to start a bit at a time and build up, because self-control is essential. Unless we were able to discipline ourselves, we can't really practice sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means discipline. I get up, I have a program, just like we're having one program, but at least at home I have an altar, I bathe, I sit down, I have a little arti, then I chant my rounds, then I read Srimad Bhagavatam. I do it every day, the same time, the same thing.
So it comes from sense control?
It comes from?
Control of the senses?
Yeah, you have to. And maybe in the beginning, alright, I should get up at 4 o'clock. But if you can't get up at 4 o'clock, you start by getting up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And then gradually, from 6 o'clock, it becomes 5:40 and 5:30 and 5 and 4:45 and 4:30, like that. And when you take little steps, then it becomes easier than to take big steps. And then you maintain that. And I start by chanting 2 rounds, and when I'm steady with 2 rounds, and I chant 3 rounds, and when I'm steady with 3, then 4, because making little steps is easier to maintain, and it becomes more, less psychologically burdensome. But we're practicing what's called Vaidhi Bhakti, which means regulated devotion. So unless you have discipline, unless you're regulated, you can't practice devotional. So it can't be just here, there, everywhere. That becomes too disorganized, and you won't be able to focus. So as we do in our temples, our centers, or when you have fear, you rise early, and you do that first thing in the morning. Because that's when you're at your best, that's when other things aren't happening in the world, that's when you can devote time to yourself. Yeah. So you have to be regulated, but little regulation. And then everyone's regulated to some degree. So you wouldn't be here if you don't have some regulation. Just that you go to school, you go to grade school, means regulation. You accept some regulation. So kids want to play, and one day the parents say, okay, you're not playing anymore all day long, you're going to school. So then you learn the discipline. And like that. But self-discipline is a different thing than when it's imposed upon you by your parents or your school. So now we have to discipline ourselves. And that's why it's good to do it in the association of devotees. Yeah. But it's a must. So ultimately, we want to come to a stage where we can chant 16 rounds a day peacefully when we're studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, at least a half hour, an hour a day. It gives stability to your life. It's like a boat. You want to anchor a boat. If you throw down a little anchor like this, you're not going to go in. It's not going to work. The wind is going to blow you away. So the anchor has to be big enough to actually tie the boat down. Similarly, our regulation, our spiritual practice has to be strong enough to anchor us so that we don't get blown away by material energy. And if it's not big enough, we'll still drag you around. So even you have a little rowboat, if you want to keep that rowboat in one place, then you have 30 kilo weight that you have to throw down to keep it there. You throw 1 kilo weight and just drag it away. So we need to be anchored, and that's just so that we don't get mutilated by Maya. And aside from that, then we need to be significantly advancing, and that requires very serious application. So it's cool. Somewhat like a correspondence course. Here's the book, this is the textbook, and in a correspondence school you still have to go, alright, once a week or something like that, you see a teacher, you see a devotee, but more or less it's left to yourself. And this is a very difficult thing, it's like having a PhD correspondence course. So you have it has to be taken seriously. But you recognize you're going to die. So there can't be any greater motive than that. You're dying. And if you don't take this seriously, one day you're going to be dead, and then you're going to realize, oh, I blew it. So, you know, they don't kill you if you don't pass grade school. They don't kill you if you don't get your university degree. But material energy is going to kill you if you don't become Krishna conscious. It's either life or death. But we think we got some time. Time to spend. But we're spending that time. It's like when you went to school. Either you study or you fool around. But when it comes to exam time, then if you fooled around, then you can't pass. So there's only so much time in a year in order to apply yourself to your studies. And if you don't use it, then when exam time comes, then it's too late. Something else. Yeah, we're not promoting, you know, there are certain, especially Christian sects who say, yes, you pray to Jesus to make you rich, to become a millionaire. They're like some, they're just, that's the whole thing, is that you join our church and you're going to become wealthy because God is going to make you wealthy. And if you want to be wealthy, you can become wealthy. So That's not what religion is about. It's not about becoming wealthy. It's about becoming spiritually wealthy. You become wealthy within. So this evening we'll get together, and that'll be, because tomorrow our flight's at 11.
Yeah.
11. That means we need to be there at 9. That means we leave here at 8. Because there may be traffic, morning traffic.
Yeah. I'll talk with Alex about when, and I'll tell you for sure in the evening at what time.
What time this evening? Mm-hmm.
7.
7. Okay. And we'll talk a little about... We have a real wonderful opportunity here. And the real opportunity is actually to make something valuable of your life instead of being another piece of garbage getting flushed into the toilet where everyone else is going. And actually the best part of doing something valuable with your life is to do some good for others. Because with Krishna consciousness, by becoming Krishna conscious and giving Krishna consciousness, then you actually really give something really tangible to someone. You feed them, but they're going to be hungry again. It's their karma. You can feed them now, but they'll be hungry in their next life. Unless you solve their karma of why it is that they're hungry. And the only thing that's going to actually solve that prarabdha karma is if they get prasadam, because only bhakti will actually dissolve the currently existing karma. You can make people build hospitals, you can do charitable works, you can do so many things. As Prabhupada said, it's like blowing on a boil. So no real long-term value. But giving Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful thing, and it really is doing something good to others, giving them the best thing. And that gives real value to life. It means that you have value from what you do for yourself, and value to do for others. And yaidam paramam guyam. And so Krishna says, there's nothing better than this. You can't do anything better than this. That's my shloka. There's this very beautiful verse in the 11th canto. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that person who speaks the science of Krishna consciousness to others, there's no one dearer to me than he. But, I left it there, it's not here. But, do you have the verse? I send it to you. But in the 11th canto, Krishna makes it even more emphatic. Yaitam mama bhakteshu sampradayat sapushkalam tasyaham brahmadayasya dadami atmanam atmana. Oh, you don't have the translation. Krishna says, yaitam mama bhakteshu, to the devotees, sampradayat sapushkalam, who gives this infallible knowledge, brahmadhyasya, the knowledge of the soul, knowledge of Krishna consciousness, dadami atmanam atmana, I give them myself. You know what that is? Krishna says, I give myself to devotees who are preaching, which is more than what he's saying in the Gita. This is right at the end of Uddhava Gita. Krishna says this when he's finished talking. And the last chapter is Bhakti Yoga. So it says, I give myself to those who give devotional service to others. So that's Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, and it's a value added life. And one thing for sure, it never gets boring. I don't think the devotees say I'm bored. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.